Clocks on my way up here just now, and all five set a different time, and so I think it's roughly 10 o'clock. We'll get started now anyway. We're glad to have you here today. Thanks for coming. If you are a visitor, we're glad you're here. You'll find a blue card in your pews. We'd love to have you fill that out. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better, and you can hand that off to the usher. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for during the service today, there are yellow cards in your pews, and any of you can fill that out and give those to the ushers, and they will hand them off to me to have prayed for later in the service as well. There are a couple of prayer requests that I do want to just let you know and to be aware of and to be praying for these people here as well in our congregation. Keep praying for Dean Falland and Amanda Braden. Dean was in the hospital this week and then was discharged on Thursday, I believe. And yeah, it was Thursday. And now as of last night, he's back in the hospital again. And so really dealing with some pretty rough struggles here with his abdomen. And so please keep him in prayer. And pray, too, for Amanda Braden. She was transferred to Elam Nursing Home here, just south of here on University. I can't say for sure if that's where she's going to be on a more permanent basis, so we don't have an address or anything like that for you yet, but wanted to at least let you know that that's where she is, and I'm pretty sure that that's where she'll end up being. And so we'll let you know that for sure when that happens, too. You can see as far as our schedule goes for the week, it's pretty bare bones, if you can call it that. We're still deep in our summer schedule here with lots of different things going on. It was fun to see some of you back from family camp here this morning. We have several of our teens here, too, that had our district Bible camp that they're coming back from, and now our preteens are heading out later this afternoon here for their camp out at Fohocha. So pray for our preteens also as they get ready for that. I know they are excited there, too. There are several people in our congregation traveling right now, and pray for them. I'm actually gonna reference that a little bit here during the sermon too, and just the love and care and prayer that's so important for us to have as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so just be praying for one another through these busy summer months where everybody's kind of to and fro. I received two comments here this morning from people kind of passive-aggressively apologizing for not being here at all. They're really this summer very much. And I know that they're not alone, and you shouldn't have to feel sorry for that. But I'm glad you're back. It's good to see some of you. And we're excited for the fall when our schedules will align more, and we will be here together more often. And with that in mind, based on the way things have gone in our congregation for the last couple of years, and even where it was last spring before the summer came, we are anticipating that we have to have some discussions about our size and about our spacing issues and things like that. And you've heard this before already, but I wanted to let you know that the council has decided to have some informal congregational meetings. So they're not formal. We're not planning to take any votes or anything like that. But there are two that are scheduled. The first one is for the last Sunday in August. And so if you think of it, I'd encourage you to put that on your calendar for Sunday, August 25th, to stick around after church for a little while as we just kind of have an open forum discussion type setting here to talk about what the future may hold for our congregation and some different options that we're looking at, whether we should go to two services or look at some other options, what you all want. And I'm going to talk about this, not that specifically, but in general, what we believe as Free Lutherans, that the congregation is the one that has the voice. And so it's really important that we all together take part in this and that we make our voices heard. And so I'd encourage you to put that on your calendars and plan to stick around for a few minutes after the service on Sunday, August 25th. There'll be other information that will be coming out as well through this time. And then at the end of September, there'll be another meeting that is planned as well at that time. And like I said, we'll just, as details get finalized, we'll keep you posted on that too. Wanted to let you know too, also related to that, it's hard to believe that September is not that far away, and that means Sunday school is coming as well. And there are some openings. We have some needs for our Sunday school program, and I'm going to invite Tori Fugelberg to come up at this time and share some thoughts there.
Thankful for your willingness to participate in our Sunday school. go look out at our table out in the front. You can sign up for Sunday School for Kids and for Kids Club, and then check out this list of our teacher meetings. Some of our main ones right now, I can just list them real quick. We have a Sunday School opener need. That would be playing music and maybe prayer, and birthdays happen during that time. We need a preschool teacher, and there's always an option to do half teaching, where you teach every other Sunday or you partner with someone. In that case, we also need a half teacher for kindergarten and first grade, and then a youth group teacher for Sunday school, and the Christmas program director. Do I need to repeat some of this? I feel like I just turned on, so if you guys didn't hear me, feel free to go check it out there. And for Wednesday nights, we always have our Bible study for adults and our youth group, but we also have Kids Club from 5 years to sixth grade. And we would love if anyone wants to help out with opening for that as well, or playing music as an accompanist. And anyone who wants to just come hang out with us and be a little helper aid, that would be helpful as well. Anyways, list is out front in the Narthex area, as well as registration sheets for the kids. Thanks.
If you're wondering whether or not any of those ministries might be something that would be good for you to be involved in, the answer is probably yes. You should pray about that, consider that, and talk to Tori or any of the other Christian Ed Committee members. If you don't know who they are, you can come and find me, and I can point you in the right direction too and get you plugged in that way. It's a great way to minister and to help encourage and build one another up, the body of Christ here. I think that's all the announcements I'm going to share, unless I'm missing any that need to be said. And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. It's from Psalm 105. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad." With glad hearts, let's stand together and sing those praises. Speak of his wonders. Glory to his name.
Good morning. You could remain standing if you're able. Our first song is "Great is the Lord." Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable."
The Lord, he is holy and just, by his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true, by his mercy he proves he is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice.
be seated. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." We're going to be singing hymn number 184, "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
His holy name.
really important and vital part of worship is entering into this time humbly in our hearts, confessing our weakness, confessing our sin and our need for a Savior. And so I would invite you to join me in doing that now. You'll find our confession of sins printed in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading from Psalm 103, where that last song we sang is based from, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice." God demonstrated his righteousness and justice that day on the cross when he went there to satisfy the Father's righteous and holy demands, and he purchased our freedom, your freedom, so that in Christ we have forgiveness. We rejoice in that forgiveness, in that mercy and grace so lovingly showered upon us today. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Ethan Zeltinger to come and read our scripture.
The Old Testament lesson for this morning can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 14. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 through 14. "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment that I give you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." The gospel lesson for today can be found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Here ends the reading.
Let's join together now as the body of Christ, the church, confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. For that, we thank you, God, for your provision for us on the cross, but I am thankful for your provision for us, too, in our temporal needs. We thank you, God, for how you bless us that way, too, and we thank you for these gifts now. I ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would use them for your kingdom's work, God. Keep us faithful as a congregation. Lead us and guide us. Help us to be faithful stewards of all that you give us. In your name I pray, amen. Before the message, then, please turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 186, Jesus' Priceless Treasure, 186.
Thank you.
I should mention here before I start that, you know, I talk about summer being a time for people to be gone and things like that. Well, the pastors do that too. And I neglected to let you know some of the schedule here for the pastors. Pastor Peter has been on vacation this week. We'll be back in the office tomorrow. And then I'm going to be with the kids out at camp until Wednesday, and then I'm taking off on vacation till the following Thursday. And so I just wanted to let you know that, and if anything comes up, just feel free to call the office. You can call Pastor Peter, too, or at least the first couple of days here when I'm out at camp, you can call me when I'm technically not on vacation as well. And so just wanted to let you know that. If you have any questions, you can direct them to me after the service, or like I said, call the office. You can talk to Kevin, our council chairman, as well. And I don't really say this either. Thanks for letting me take vacation. That's a good thing. So we're in the book of Colossians today. And chapter 1, it's the first 14 verses of this letter that Paul wrote to this church. I would invite you to stand, if you're able, with me out of respect for God's word as I read these verses here from Colossians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends our reading. Father in heaven, these are your words, and I am so grateful to you for them, and I pray that you would set them apart now in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. May the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of our hearts gathered here this morning be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that makes us unique as an association of Free Lutheran congregations is our emphasis on the beauty of the congregation, on the authority of the congregation as the Holy Spirit through the Word of God works in and through it. Certainly, no congregation is perfect. We have our warts for sure, our struggles, our weaknesses and deficiencies and sins. And it's important for us to honestly acknowledge that. But in Christ, we believe our sins are washed away, removed as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. And that's true for us personally, but it is collectively as the congregation as well. I'm not saying that every soul on our membership roster is saved, is a Christian, simply because they are on the membership roll. Our Free Lutheran fundamental principles talk about that and exhort congregations that they are obligated to purify themselves by the quickening preaching of the word, it says. And then with church discipline when hard hearts persist. But let that not distract us from the truth of Scripture that the congregation defined by our confessions as the assembly of believers, the assembly of believers where the gospel is preached and the sacraments administered, that the church is the bride of Christ, sanctified, cleansed, and washed, according to Ephesians 5, presented in splendor without blemish. Here's a lengthy quote from a man named Sverdrup. He's the founder of the Free Lutheran Movement in America. It's long, but please listen and picture with me what this means for us. It is a holy act of the triune God that we stand in relation to when we contemplate the marvelous birth of the congregation. Sin had upset God's creation. Death had become Lord over fallen creation. God's wrath over sin placed great suffering on humans who were created for blessedness. God's eternal counsel concerning the plan in the fullness of time, though, was a counsel of love and grace, for it had to do with restoring all the damage that sin had brought about. It was a matter of restoring life and immortality to the bound slaves of death. Thus, no congregation would be born, no fellowship of God's emancipated children would be created apart from the atoning work of Christ's death on the cross. Life from death by Christ's resurrection, reconciliation with God by his Son through the Holy Spirit. That is why it is the body of Christ. The ascended Savior dwells in believers by a living faith which is produced by the Holy Spirit. He, Christ, was dead. And see, he's alive to all eternity. Thus, it may also be said of everyone who in spirit and truth belongs to his body. This one, you, were dead. And see, you live. The life of Christ, which streams through the congregation by the Holy Spirit, is the resurrected life. No one is partaker in this except the one who has died and been raised with him. This living faith is a death to the world by the cross of Christ and a making alive to God by the resurrection of Christ. End quote. Us believers are a gathering, a fellowship of ones who have been brought from death to life. You are sitting amongst God's emancipated children this morning, living new life, resurrected life in Christ. We have a living faith and a living hope through the resurrection. In other words, it's a different faith and hope than what the world offers. That kind of faith and hope can die. Have you ever been let down by someone or something? Has your trust ever been broken, or have you ever been disappointed? This world is marked by broken trust and disappointment, but Christ is faithful. We trust him fully. He does not disappoint, and the congregation then is marked not by brokenness and disappointment, but the congregation is marked by that kind of faith and hope that is eternal in Christ. And friends, that's exciting. The Apostle Paul begins this letter to the Colossian church, outlining its beauty with a thankful heart. We see his love for this congregation, which, by the way, he either never met or spent very little time with. But when we share in the death and resurrection of Christ, we share a bond that is of eternal quality, regardless of how much time we actually spend with one another on this earth, and that is special. And Paul's love for the congregation here shines through in this text. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. The first few verses are a general introduction and greeting from Paul and Timothy, his young apprentice, so to speak. And he addresses the letter to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Here, Paul defines Christians as saints. If you are a Christian today, you are a saint. Sometimes we joke about this. At least I know I'm guilty of it. Are there people in your life where you wonder if they've ever sinned? Okay? They live such a pious life, and they're so kind and wonderful to everyone, and there just doesn't seem to be a wicked bone in their body. And sometimes I've been guilty. I'm telling these people, I don't even know if you've ever sinned, okay? Which obviously I know isn't true. The truth is, those people in their sinful nature that they were born with are just as wicked as anybody else. And even though we may not be able to see it, they have their struggles and their shortcomings too. And the truth is, in Christ, in their new resurrected nature, they are saints, sanctified and spotless, but so are the other Christians, the ones that we maybe have an easier time pointing out and seeing and judging their weaknesses and struggles. If you are a Christian, you are a saint. You are surrounded today by saints. And Paul also says here then that these are faithful brothers. You are surrounded today by your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And friends, the Bible teaches, and we love our family members here on this earth, okay? But the Bible teaches that you share a sibling bond with these brothers and sisters sitting with you today that is stronger than the sibling bond you share with your earthly siblings. Our earthly families are given to us by God. They are blessed by Him, and I in no way want to shortchange that. That is special. But there is a bond here that we share in Christ that transcends this world. It transcends even death. Because you see, these sibling relationships that we have in this earth are just that. They're earthly. But the relationship we have, the bond we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is eternal. You share a bond with your brothers and sisters here that is stronger than the bond you share with your biological family. We get tastes of that and how special that is. That's part of the purpose of gathering here every week. But we don't fully realize this until heaven, and what a glorious reality that's going to be. If you enjoy the home and family you have now, okay, I hope you do, just wait. It is nothing compared to what we will enjoy when we fully realize for eternity what it means to be a part of the family of God. I'm excited for that day. In verse 3, Paul expresses thanks to God for these saints and brothers and sisters. We always thank God when we pray for you. I thank God for you people. I thank God for this choir of children down here this morning, okay? I know that this front pew is the worst place to sit for many of you. It was the best seat in the house this morning, and I mean that. To hear literally a choir of children's voices singing that song, 10,000 Reasons, with us, I am grateful to you kids because you blessed my heart this morning, okay? I thank God for you people. Here's a fun challenge, okay? You don't have to do it. I know it's weird. But I also know that our independent and standoffish culture, combined with, for some of us, our Scandinavian stoicism, prevents us from using language that's frankly biblical with one another. I know it's weird, but maybe it's healthy. Find someone, here's the challenge. Find someone after church today and tell them that you thank God for them. I dare you, okay? It's not going to be a test, so it's okay if you don't. But I challenge you to try that. If not today, some other time. If you really want to challenge yourself, say it to someone you don't know, okay? And I mean this. I am so grateful to God for you. You are my brothers and sisters, and I love you. That would get really crazy, okay? You should try saying that to a stranger. If you're a first-time visitor here and someone tells you that they love you after the service, don't be too weirded out, okay? We don't do this every week. Maybe we should. Here's why Paul is so thankful. We heard of your faith, he says, in Christ Jesus. It's exciting to hear that other people are believers. And we heard of the love you have for the saints, for one another, Paul says. There it is. We love each other in the love of Christ. It's okay to tell people here that you love them, because we do in the love of Christ. And the reason for this faith and this love that we hope in is the hope that we have ultimately in heaven. It's that hope that I mentioned earlier that does not disappoint. This hope that comes to us through the gospel, Paul says. The word of truth that has come in Jesus, that Paul says is bearing fruit and increasing in the whole world. This is why it's so important for us, for example, to be invested and engaged in mission work. To pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries who don't enjoy the freedoms that we do, who are being persecuted for this faith and this love. And it's so important to rejoice with those brothers and sisters all over the world that the word of the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. I thank God that the gospel is bearing fruit in this congregation. I mentioned in the announcements, we're going to have some congregational meetings here in the future to talk about our future, different spacing issues that come with growth, and sometimes there are challenging decisions to make. Sometimes those decisions are ones that not everyone agrees with, and I don't know what those are, so don't worry, okay, about trying to read into that, because we really don't know how the Lord is going to lead us at this point. And I mean that, but here's one thing that I do mean, that I do know. The gospel is bearing fruit. The gospel is bearing fruit, and that is a really good thing. That is something to thank God for. We thank God for the work that he is doing in this congregation, that his work is bearing fruit. And with all that in mind, then, Paul writes here in verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Certainly, these are prayers of thanks and praise to God for the work that he is doing, but these are also prayers of supplication, requests to God. May you be filled with the knowledge of his will. May you know God's will in wisdom and understanding so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, it says, pleasing to him, bearing fruit and growing in him. May you be strengthened in his power, according to his glorious might, in endurance and patience and joy. See, there's an underlying implication in those requests. When you ask for something, it's because you need it or you want it, right? It's not necessarily here that the Colossian church was lacking or deficient in these things, but they may have been, at least to some extent. And Paul recognizes also that this world is broken by sin and it's filled with broken people who have a sinful nature. And so even though there's still so much to be thankful for, it's still so important to pray for continued strength, protection, wisdom, grace, endurance, patience, and joy. We obviously don't have time to look at the whole book today. But Paul wrote this letter in large part to warn of a heresy that was prevalent in the city at the time and perhaps even creeping into the church. It's not super clear in the book what the specific heresy was, but there is a lot of evidence to believe that it was some form of Gnosticism, which is a false teaching that attacked the person and work of Christ, which is really what a lot of heretical teachings like to do. They like to attack Christ, at the very least to minimize him by idolizing something or someone else. And the church, yes, as beautiful and radiant as it is susceptible to that too. Because we're still in this world, and as long as we're here, until the Lord comes, we still have these sinful natures that are prone to wander. God forgive us. So we pray for one another. We encourage one another and build one another up all the more as we see the day drawing near. Paul brings us back full circle in verse 12. When you sin, when we sin collectively as a congregation, when we wander, when we fail to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, when sin prevents us from bearing fruit, we acknowledge it, we confess it, it's humbling. Paul says to give thanks then to the Father for qualifying us to share in his inheritance. He brings us back here, friends, to the reason that we have that hope that does not fail. We are qualified for his inheritance. We are made his heir, his child, not because we qualified ourselves, not based on any qualificationness that doesn't exist. It's not possible in our sin and in our brokenness. But rather, we are his heir, we are his child, we are a part of his family because he qualified us. Our hope is not in our qualifications, our hope is in his death and resurrection. His work qualifies us. He, verse 13, delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, it says, the forgiveness of sins. And that is good news. We can't deliver ourselves from the domain of darkness. Only Christ can conquer the devil. Only Christ can free us from captivity. Only Christ can give the strength to endure with all patience and joy, and that's exactly what we have in him, in his body. We, his bride, endure with patience and joy in his strength. Jesus told the disciple, Peter, that he would build his church on this rock, this foundation. Jesus was speaking of himself. And Jesus said that the church that's built on me, on his death and resurrection, the church that is built on Christ, founded on him, he says the very gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. When believers come together, it's a beautiful thing. When the word of Christ is proclaimed, the sacraments administered, like we're going to do here in just a minute, this is us coming together as his family, as his body, and partaking in his broken body and shed blood. When we come together, we are his church, beautiful, sanctified, radiant, and strengthened by his might, so that when the lies of the devil come knocking on our door, in his strength, in him, we stand firm, we endure, confident and assured in his victory. The congregation is beautiful. We love the congregation. Amen. As we prepare for communion, let's sing together here this great hymn, hymn number 292, The Church's One Foundation, number 292. The same body and blood here, I want to read a quote for you from Sverdrup again. This one's not nearly as long, but listen to these words. Blessed are those who in childlike faith eat the bread and wine in Holy Communion, and therein receive a foretaste of the power of eternal life. That's what we're here for today in communion. They shall see what it is like to be a member of Christ's body and what an unspeakably precious thing the congregation is due to the holy fellowship. This is a visible picture of the blessed union that you and I share as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come together as one body to partake in the body of Christ. For as Paul says, since there is one bread, we who are many are one body. I would invite you to come forward today as you are led, do so humbly, confessing your sins, recognizing our need that outside of Christ's body we are hopeless, okay? Come here hungry, seeking the forgiveness and the victory that Christ won for you on the cross. Believe in his words here where he says that he has given his body, that he has shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of sins. And then remember when you leave the table to thank the Lord for so great a gift. Pray that you and this body would be strengthened in him and in the power of his might. We're going to have just a brief time of silent prayer and then I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together as children. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner also he took the cup, and when he had eaten and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This time all things have been made ready, so I will invite the ushers to come forward. They will direct you. If you are not able to stand and to come, that's fine. You can stay in your seat and someone will come and serve you. We're thankful in our hearts today for God and for one another. With thankful hearts, then let's pray. Thank you, Almighty and everlasting God, for refreshing us today with these your gracious gifts. It was a wonderful meal shared with this family of God. Thank you for this time, Lord. We ask in your mercy, strengthen our Christian faith. Support us in the trials of life. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting today, who are struggling for so many different reasons, many of them unspoken, and you know the hurts and the hardships, the trials in our life, God. We pray, do pray specifically for Dean Fatland and for Amanda Braden today. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to them and that you would comfort them, give them rest and peace today. Even though they maybe can't be here at church with us, Lord, I pray that you would remind them that they are in you and that in you there is great peace and joy to be found and rest. And Lord, I pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are traveling this busy summer season. I pray, God, that you would watch over, protect, and keep them safe. I thank you for a good couple of weeks here of Bible camp, and I pray for those who are taking off now today for camp. I ask, God, that you would bless our preteens this week. I pray that you would use this week in a wonderful way to encourage them and strengthen them in their faith. Lord, I pray for our congregation, and I pray that however you lead us, that you would make us fervent in our love for you and to our fellow men. Lord, I pray that you would use this congregation as a beacon of light in this community, so that all who are hurting, who are suffering, all who are enslaved and imprisoned by sin and death, Lord, would find here hope, peace, life. We pray for your will to be done in our lives and in the life of our congregation. We pray that you would bless this week now. In your name I pray, amen. Please rise, receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.